broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go through the looking glass and beyond to take you places no one else dare. No one else dare take you there because they don't know how to take you there. As the Staple Singers said,
I'll take you there. No, they go, I'll take you there.
Right. In any event, welcome back. Our number 877-876-PHIL. I'll take you there was a song of the Staple Singers.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I said.
No, but you go, I'll take you there. I'll take you there.
Yeah. All right, 877-876-PHIL.
You don't have to sing it all like you're black and everything. We know you're black.
Shut up, man.
Hey, bud, you know, you are so inappropriate that I want to just cave your nose in half the time. Just, you know, have a little bit of dignity.
I got dignity. He's just talking about all being all boogie.
Hey, man.
Watch. Hey, whoa. Hey, watch. I'm going to kick your ass. Watch it. What do you think I'm doing? What are you, Christian Bale all of a sudden?
I'm going to kick his ass.
You and what? What army?
Sit, come on. I'm going to put one more outburst like that. Both you guys go home. Is that understood? Is that understood?
Yes, sir.
You?
Yeah.
You?
You.
All right. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL. That's our little Clint Eastwood impression. Okay, so thank you very, very deeply, Reverend Dave Castorini. You're definitely different, man. You and your two reeler stag movies. And anyway, welcome back here, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Our web address, I was going to say our website, and our web address that came out, website, is philhenryshow.com. Head on over there, get a backstage pass, get thousands and thousands of hours of archived radio available like no other radio show is, including our five-day video cast archive, including our video and audio rants, including our podcasts that are available through iTunes. And I'm going to start another podcast. I don't know exactly when. And this will be a podcast offered you don't necessarily have to have the backstage pass to get it. And we'll just see when we roll that out. But we're going to do a big-ass rollout on that. And that will be probably in the next 5 minutes. No, I don't know when we'll do it, but we will. All right, so it's our website, philhenryshow.com. Also, check out the merchandise we've got in our shop. Hats, T-shirts, you name it, baby, we got it. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police has joined us. Jay was in San Diego last week. This was when the blackout occurred. You remember we had Jay on the air, and he was talking with us about going down there with members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, his sub-commanders, and entering homes that he was not getting a response. He's not getting a response from the occupants in, or two. And so Jay was went on to do his patrolling that night. I guess we had him on the air. Jay, how long were you on the air with us?
Phil, I was only here with you about an hour.
Okay, and I do recall you talking to police officers.
Yeah, and we did talk to police officers, and we talked, Phil, as usual on your program with a lot of people who know their business, but fortunately they don't know my business. I'm a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're not official police officers. We are more of a independent band that is interested in saving lives. We're not necessarily interested in all the niceties. And
are you interested in niceties like the Constitution?
Of course we are, Phil. Of course we are.
And okay, I mean, because what those police officers were saying to you was that while you may have concerns about people inside the house, if you break out glass and bust in the doors or whatever...
We did not bust in no doors, Phil.
No, but I mean, not breaking down the door. I know you didn't do that, but you're breaking glass and you're entering that way and you're going in and you're seeing there's people there. And every police officer that called this show said it was against the law.
Every police officer to call the show said it was against the law, but they didn't say, and here's something that I find very interesting, and I think maybe you do too, and I'd love to hear from people who are listening on the program tonight, see if they do too, that every police officer said, you know what, Phil, I can't go into that house because I don't have probable cause. But I said to them, how do you know there is an old lady laying dead on the floor? And he said, unless I can see her or unless I can hear her, I don't. And that's where I invoke what we call don't smell them before you see them. You remember when we said that?
Yeah, I know that, man. You don't want to smell them. I think it's a very odious and, frankly, insulting slogan.
Well, I don't. Why is that insulting?
Because you're talking about a human being. You guys talk about you care so much about people, and your slogan is don't smell them before you can see them, meaning, you know, you're going to want to find them in there.
We want to find them alive, all right? I don't have a smell them. So, you know...
All right, well, I don't... You know what? I don't like your slogan. I don't want you to say it on my show.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
So you're telling me that a slogan that Major Elvis Newton, who worked on it and brushed it up, and, you know, he worked on it, he cleaned it up, and he sent it around, sent copies to people, and we all, you know, cleaned it up and worked on it, and we came down with a slogan like that, you're saying I'm not allowed to say it.
You, what did you say? I don't, you know, it's very difficult for me to understand what you're saying, Jay.
I said, you don't want me to say...
I don't, I would rather not hear you say don't smell him before you can see him, because I find that insulting to the potential victims, don't you?
No, I do not. No, it's a slogan that has served me well, Mr. Henry, in the 12 years that I've been a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police. And what happened to us in San Diego last week was we went into that home, and I had the good faith and full faith and full faith and integrity of the belief that woman, that there was someone in there that was in trouble.
You broke in, now just to give everybody the background here, folks, Jay Santos, along with this kid, Delbert Sean,
yes.
He's a sub-commander?
One of our sub-commanders, that's correct.
You and this young man broke into this woman's house. You entered her residence and found her in the bathroom, is that correct?
That's your version, Phil.
All right, well, tell me what happened.
I'll tell you what happened. We knocked on the door repeatedly. It was a darkened house. There were no lights on in the house. And Sub-Commander Sean could hear what he thought was groaning or moaning. It turned out later it was not, but he thought he could hear her. And that's when I made the decision. I made a unilateral decision based upon my rank as Brigadier Admiral to go through the door, which at that time we then did do. We went through the door. And we came into a lighted area. The hall was lit. I saw what looked like a door ajar. It was, in fact, a bathroom. And, yes, we walked in on this woman who was, at that time, in the bathroom. And we apologized. And I think the thing that probably angered her more than anything else is that Sub-Commander Sean, in a way of trying to be lighthearted, he lit a match as we were leaving. And
well, you know, that's very insulting. And so, bottom line here...
No, it's not. No, Mr. Ray, it's not very insulting. It was his way of trying to be lighthearted.
And so the bottom line here is, you came into a home where there wasn't... Not only there wasn't someone in there that needed help, there was a woman in there using the toilet, right?
That was what it turned out to be, yeah. And so, we apologized. We came back in an hour to make sure she was okay. And the next thing I heard... I got a call from one of these police there in the Corona area, or Coronado area, I think it is, Point Coronado area, and he told me that she didn't want us over there, and then we finally had a restraining order.
So you have a restraining order on you from this lady. I can't find this woman's name. Sheila Bartholomew, is that it?
Now, Sarah Bartholomew.
Sarah Bartholomew. How old is she?
It doesn't make any difference, Phil.
Well, she's in her late 70s.
That's right. But when you say how old is she, it doesn't matter. We're going to protect whoever we have to.
Well, you got a restraining order on you, man. You have a restraining order. You can't go near her, okay?
I understand that, and that is an unfortunate miscommunication.
Not only is it, you may think it's an unfortunate miscommunication, she doesn't want your help. She doesn't want you anywhere near her. She thinks that she's in some jeopardy.
That is simply not true, Phil. Now, we have tried to make contact.
No, you're not supposed to make contact. You're not supposed to make any contact at all. You understand that, right?
Well, are you one of her relatives or something?
I'm a citizen of the United States of America, a citizen of the state of California. I'm a law-abiding citizen, and I like to see the laws upheld. And when I know of someone who is contemplating breaking a law or who has broken a law, you understand what I'm saying here, Jay?
No, I don't. I wish you'd spell it out for me.
I'm saying stay away from her.
Well, that's really not your call, Phil.
No, it's not my call, but I'm telling you, you have a restraining order on you. You scared this woman so much, she's put out a restraining order on you. She doesn't want you near her house.
Phil, again, it's a misunderstanding based upon the fact of what the police told her.
Well, the police told her what she wanted. She wanted to talk to the police. She didn't want to talk to you. Okay? And the fact is, you walked in on her while she's sitting on a toilet.
That is not unusual. And
oh, it's not, huh? You've done that before?
When we've had reason to believe or someone's probably has passed out or is laying flat on her, I don't know. We could hear noises coming from the bathroom, according to my subcommander here. As it turned out later, it was just her in the bathroom humming or using the toilet. I don't know.
And then he lights a match as a way of being lighthearted. Is that what you said?
That is correct, yes, sir. That was our way of trying to apologize. I called back later to apologize again. That's when she hung up on me. And that's when I got a contact from this police officer. And then we came back up here to the South Bay, and we get this restraining order. And I say, I got a restraining order.
You got the restraining order, Jay Santos.
That's correct.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Here is the problem, Jay, that you and I talked about this. You're not a police officer. You're not
Hold on, Phil. Don't say I'm not a police. I'm not one of the regular police officers. I'm a citizen's auxiliary police officer.
Okay, you're not one of the regular police. And you went ahead and entered a home that you did not have access to otherwise. You entered this house without permission. You walk in, you see this lady in the bathroom, and you went in thinking there could be somebody in jeopardy. But the police have told you that in order for you to be able to do that, you have to have some reasonable, you have to be able to see or hear.
That's right, and that's when Subcommander Sean
thought he heard something.
He heard her on the toilet. And
okay, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Now he has a restraining order. The Citizens Auxiliary Police, they have a restraining order on them filed by this one woman down there in San Diego who doesn't want these guys anywhere near her as the result of their actions, and they're still trying to make contact with her. What's the problem? What is it that they don't understand? We're going to find out here. 877-876-PHIL is our number. And, you know, I realized there was a blackout in San Diego, and I realized that people were, you know, possibly in trouble. But these guys are entering homes without so much as, with no permission at all. Just no lights on. Let's enter the house. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And with me is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We've been talking here about the blackout in San Diego last week. And his organization, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, went down there. You guys were going door to door, and you were knocking on the doors first. And if you didn't get an answer, what were you doing?
If we didn't get an answer, Phil, then we were attempting entry.
Okay, so in other words, you were going that extra step that most cops don't go.
Well, right, and in so doing, most likely could save a lot of lives.
Did you save any lives that night?
You know something, Phil, I don't look at it that way.
Well, I mean, did you come into those homes? Did you see anybody laying on the floor?
Yeah, Phil, are you on a congressional Senate subcommittee? Is that what you're doing, or
no? What do you mean? Am I on a congressional?
Because you sound like you're grilling me, like I'm on a congressional committee. I'm not. I'm just telling you that we went to San Diego and we had nothing but the best of intentions. And
well, you had the best of intentions.
Okay, can I finish for just a minute here, if you don't mind? Because you're rolling over every topic, everything I'm trying to say. We went down to San Diego. We had our very best of intentions to try and help people. We went into homes. We didn't find nothing. Then we went to one home. We heard what we thought was a grunt. We entered the home. We went in. The lady was okay. She's on a toilet. You know, and we made a joke out of it, lit a match. Ha ha. And
so you're sitting there laughing as this woman's using the toilet.
Excuse me, Phil, but we did not. There was a blackout. Okay?
Did you see? You said you saw lights, right?
She had some candles lit.
Okay.
And we went in and Next thing I know, we got a restraining order. I find that to be the thing that hurts about that more than anything else is we wanted to make sure that this lady was okay. We wanted to make sure that this lady was not hurt. We broke out a couple panes of glass and some of the framing around her window so we could gain access. She had the place deadbolted, and we opened up the door. We came in at...
Did you announce yourselves?
We have found that... Okay, the short answer, no, we did not.
Okay, so you don't announce yourselves. Maybe this lady here...
Hold on, Phil. We have found that that alerts the criminal that there's someone there, and we're not going to catch them because they're going to run away.
And so you don't announce yourself. You come through a busted pane of glass.
Came through the door.
All right, you come through the door. You don't announce yourself. For all you know, there's somebody who is scared to death. For all you know, someone's got a gun. Have you ever thought about that?
We think about all contingencies, Phil. I can assure you that we instruct our sub-commanders, and I instruct myself in spins, in what we call a spin or a twirl. We do what are called twirl steps.
And what is a twirl step?
You twirl and step left, twirl and step right. It's called a twirl step. It's very basic. You can dodge away.
And can you dodge bullets?
No, I don't want to be asinine. I'm trying to answer the questions what you have for me, okay?
So go ahead.
So this lady, we said, so what we tried to do is then call her up and say, we're really sorry. We were trying to save your life. We had no idea, and we were trying to do the very best we could for the people on the street. And what we got for our trouble was this lady filed a restraining order. And I have to say that I would think that the people who are listening to your show or people in that neighborhood or wherever there's people, that they would say that Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police was trying to do a good thing, that the response that we got for the good thing we was trying to do was to have a lady go and get a restraining order. She went and got one and had them deliver it down to us, or however they do it, I don't know.
It's something you got to do through the court.
All right. And so what we got for the very sincere efforts that we had to help this lady was a restraining order. And I think that it really makes you want to just step back and not do what you call public service, because we walk in there and she assumes that we are thinking salacious or inappropriate thoughts. If I'm there to save lives, it doesn't make any difference if she's sitting on a toilet. To me, she might as well just be sitting on a chair. I don't see that. I'm not getting no kick out of that. And she thought I was getting some cheap jolly. And
so what's this smartass that you were with lighting a match for?
That was he was trying to be, you're right, he was being a smartass and it didn't work. I told him as we were leaving, I said, that didn't work, that didn't play. Okay, that missed.
And that missed?
Right. I said, why'd you light that match? He said, I was trying to just be funny because she's sitting on a toilet. I said, well, I think it missed. I think you laid an egg in there.
And what is with all these showbiz terms? I don't understand that. You know,
in a lot of ways, it is showbiz. We're trying to do a performance for people.
Well, look, you're not. You say that you're there to save lives. All right, look, 877-876-PHIL. Tim, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. I just have a couple of seconds here, and we can go to, where is the caller, Tim? Here he is. Tim, go ahead.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Good.
Hey, sir, this is Tim Steelworth. I want to ask this man a question. When you walked into that home, and you announced, and you said you didn't announce who you were. Is that right?
That is correct, sir. That's not our policy.
That's not your policy. And you go into that home, and if that woman had a gun, and she had decided that she was going to pull the trigger on that gun and kill one of you two, how would you feel about that?
As I said, sir, we are given twirl step.
Well, I've never heard of a twirl step in my life. I don't even think it exists. I think what you guys have done is you come up with a bunch of strange answers to questions. I've been to San Diego. I have family in San Diego. That was a very difficult time for those people down there. And for anybody to enter a home and not announce themselves first and put themselves at risk of being shot, because that's what I do.
Well, sir, again, with a twirl step,
That what is a twirl step? Can you evade a bullet?
Yes, sir, we can if we can see the glint off the barrel.
What do you mean the glint off the barrel? A lot of what this guy's talking about, Phil, sounds like fairy tale.
All right, hold the line here. 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, who now has a restraining order on him for going into a woman's house during the blackout in San Diego. We'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Joining me is Jay Sanis here from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Last week, we had you guys on the air. You were in San Diego, and you were talking about going into these homes that have been affected by the blackout, not knowing whether anybody was okay. You guys were affecting an entry anyway, and the police told you at the time that it was illegal.
You know, I got a lot of opinions that night, Phil, but the most important thing to us was to make sure that people were okay. Whether or not we were going into a home and someone's opinion was illegal or not, the most disappointing thing, I think, about our visit to San Diego was that here we are trying to do our part to help save, you know, a city during a blackout from the potential of crime. And I got a restraining order put on me by some old woman who thought I wanted to go and look at her while she's going to the bathroom. That's about as silly a thing as I've ever heard in my life.
And what was the restraining order? The restraining order was that you had called several times.
Yeah, we were calling to see if she was okay. You know.
Well, this, after going into her house unannounced, without a search warrant,
Let me ask something, Phil. I'm watching you on your video cast right now.
Hold on for a minute. Yeah? What about it?
Well, you're reaching down and grabbing. Are you grabbing?
Don't worry about what I'm doing, okay? I'm straightening my pants out.
Because it looks like you're reaching down and getting a handful, and I can tell you right now, you're going to spend a whole lot of time.
What? I'm reaching down and what?
You're spending a whole lot of time criticizing me and what we're doing in San Diego, and you got your hand down there. And the only thing I'm saying.
Don't worry about what I'm doing. I'm asking you a good question. I'm asking you whether you believe that you're doing the right thing or not. You're going into a house. You can say that this lady is not grateful. You can say that the city of San Diego is not grateful.
That's exactly what we're saying. And, you know, and I wish you would listen to me. What we're saying is that not only the city of San Diego is not grateful, but the people, this lady, this Sarah Bartholomew, is not grateful in what we try to do for her. And because I stand there and I'm looking at her, she's nude on a toilet, she thinks I'm getting some kind of a thrill out of that. If I'm breaking into a house and I'm trying to save somebody and I'm trying to make sure that someone's okay, and I take a minute for myself.
And what do you mean take a minute for yourself?
If I'm standing looking, she's naked.
Okay, 877.
Well, what's wrong with that?
You sound like a freak. 877-876-PHIL. Mavis, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, I'm listening to your program tonight in Southgate, California. I hear what this man said.
And did you call me last week?
I don't know. If I did, Phil, I think I heard her on your program. Should hang up on her. Now, hold on for a minute. You're not going to hang up on nobody.
I'll do it. Don't worry about it, Jay.
I think the lady called last week.
I'll do it, okay?
Let me tell you something, Mr. Santos. I've been listening to you now, and I'd like to have my chance to say what I want to say, if you don't mind. Because I've listened to Phil Hendry every night. Yes, I did call him, and I'll call him again. All right, man, I just wish you'd be honest about it. I'm very honest. I'm way more honest than you. And I'll tell you how honest I am. I would be very honest if you come into my house, and I'm sitting on the toilet taking care of my business, and you come into my home, and you say you stand there, take a moment for yourself, you can look me up and down. But I don't know. I've never seen you. You know what I would do to you? There is nothing in this world that could stop me from doing something to you that I cannot describe on the air. I will not be on the radio, and I will not talk about it.
You tell him what we're going to do?
No, I've said to you, Robert, be quiet.
Is that Robert, your nephew? Because he works for me.
Yeah, well, why don't you...
come down here and get a sandwich.
He said he'd come over here and get a ham sandwich.
Would you ask him to come back to work, please?
Mr. Henry, won't you come back?
Go back.
Phil, am I being interviewed on a boat?
Hold on for a minute, okay? Robert?
Yeah?
Why don't you get your ass back here?
Better
get back here!
He wants you to get back there. Why don't you do that? I'm talking to the man on the radio right now, Mr. Santos. I'm right here, ma'am.
All right.
When I come on Mr. Henry's program, I said I want to talk to you. That's what I want to do. I'm going to say what I want to say. And I don't want. And I can talk over you. And you can't talk me down. Now, I'm sitting there, and I'm taking care of nature's call. Now, you come in, and you look me up and down like I'm a piece of with something you want. I can tell you that I would do things to you that I cannot describe, that they are done to steers every day in a slaughterhouse. You know what I mean by that? Sound to me like you want to hand me upside down and gut me. That's what I do. Well, give the man a cigar.
I'll give him a cigar there.
Look at that, man. You really got that, didn't you? I'm sickened by what I'm hearing on this radio show tonight. What you still doing here?
I don't know.
I told you to get your ass back.
All right, okay. Thank you very much, all right?
Hold on. Get your ass back over. Ma'am, am I going to be allowed to say something here, ma'am? And you have nothing to say to me. Everything that I wanted to say to you, I have said. And the things I do to you, they would never talk about on a radio show. Other than the things they do in a stockyard in Chicago to a bull. And they make, what do you call it, the Oscar Mayer hot dog.
Make an Oscar Mayer hot dog out of you.
Get your ass out of here.
Tell him to get over here. Thank you very much, Mavis.
You know, ma'am, I wanted to say something if I could.
Okay, she's gone. 877-8764, what did you want to say?
Well, I think what's very obvious there is that woman said that if I came into her home, somehow she would hang me upside down and gut me and make me a sausage. And, okay, that's great. You know, enough said about that. Well, I'm trying to save someone's life. I've had a restraining order put out. I've had people say they want to shoot me. I had a lady say I'm looking her up and down like she's a piece of something. Had another lady say she want to hang me upside down and gut me, turn me into Oscar Mayer, you know, weenie. And I had another person say they didn't have to turn me into Oscar Mayer weenie because I already was one, or I already am one. Or how are they probably forget the tense they put it in.
All right, never mind. So you've been insulted, and I have to say, while I'm not a big fan of that kind of insult, do you have any, can you blame anybody when you go into a place after you heard everything those cops say?
Phil, the only thing I want to say is what I have said, and that is that I tried the very best I could to protect people, and instead, what I got was a restraining order. And for my trouble, somebody thinks I'm getting my kicks looking at some old lady nude on a toilet. You kind of hope maybe if you go in and you see someone sitting on a toilet, that maybe they're a little bit younger. But no, that's not my luck. That's not the way my luck's gone in my life. If you want to talk about bad luck, I can tell you all about it. I had nothing but bad luck, and it just continued right on into San Diego. I don't even give a damn about why I do what I do, try to save lives. And that's what we're about, saving lives. I think I'm treated bad. I don't think there's nobody what appreciate me.
All right, well, you're not appreciated, and I suppose if I had a violin, I would be playing it.
Well, that's kind of smart remark, I would expect.
Well, I mean, that's what you're doing here, Mr. Santos. You're, you know, feeling sorry for yourself, aren't you? You know, you are the guy that brought this on yourself. I don't know how many different ways you need to be told that what you're doing is illegal.
How many different ways do I need to say that what we're doing is saving lives? And
well, you may be saying that, but are you? And if you're not saving lives, the efforts that you are making towards saving those lives, are they within the law? Okay?
Well, now you're just yelling and everything.
That's right, I'm yelling.
That last lady called up said she wants to gut me and her nephew got in the act.
Well, that's her nephew works. Where have you been, man?
I said I got a ham sandwich.
Don't split out of here and go over to your aunt's house.
Is that the guy?
Yes.
What are you doing? Last minute you're yelling at me from lady's house.
I got a ham sandwich, man. That's none of your business. I'm telling about a lady. That's my aunt. She used to work in a slaughterhouse in Chicago.
You say your aunt worked in a slaughterhouse in Chicago?
That's right. And she hand you upside down, man. Look at his split. Hey, you upside down, wrap you in cellophane, man. They have you looking like a Now they look like about 10 pounds of ground meat. And
all right, shut up, will you? Mr. Santos, I can only say to you that I think you should reassess how you are affecting your citizens auxiliary police, how you are affecting your contact with the public, and if indeed any of it is legal, and beyond that, how you are, you know, just your human relations, lighting matches and taking time for yourself to look at some nude lady on a toilet. This is not playing, okay?
Well, I think that's for, you know, it's for you to know and me to find out. It's not you to know and me to find out. It's one man's opinion is what I meant to say. That's one man's opinion, you know, maybe two man's opinion. Maybe two man's opinion. Maybe there's another man have opinion like that, too. Maybe three-man opinion. It could be a full three-man opinion.
And okay, I get it, all right? There may be some guys that agree with me, and there's some guys that agree with you. I'm telling you that you got a restraining order on you, and you need to honor that restraining order.
I am going to honor the restraining order. Believe me when I tell you, I don't want to go anywhere near that old bag. That dirty filth. I thought maybe someday we could be married.
Get that freak out of here, will you? With my compliments, thank you. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Well, Jay Santos, you know, that was a little bit of a follow-up. I knew he had some problems down there, you know.
I heard that lady's going to get mad.
Get mad? That's called a restraining order. That's about as bad as it gets, just before they throw your ass in a hole. If you got a restraining order, you honor the restraining order. If you don't, well, then you're going to get shot and killed. I think these guys that violate these restraining orders, you hear it happen all the time. I think they deserve to get shot. I think they deserve, frankly, if there's a restraining order on somebody and they violate it, I think you should shoot to kill. That's my own personal opinion.
Man, you got no sympathy, do you?
Well, wait a minute. If it's a restraining order and it says you're not allowed to go to this or that or something else, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you got to kill a guy. A lot of times about a guy wants to see his kids.
I don't give a crap if that's what he wants to see. If there's a restraining order on his ass, and you're not supposed to go within I don't know how many feet, and the guy does it anyway, I think you should shoot to kill. That's my own personal opinion, but I don't know how these guys, they're constantly violating these things. I think if one of them gets a bullet through the head, it may send a message to a few others.
Well, who's going to do that?
The person's got that took the restraining order out. These women, a lot of them are females. You know, a lot of them have boyfriends. These stupid asses that they can't take no for an answer because their mama, you know, didn't I guess took them off the nipple too soon or whatever their problem is. They should get a baseball bat across their knees. Or their husbands that are pissed off because they were stupid enough to marry the chick in the first place, you know, this kind of thing, and they're using the children. I mean, it's a vicious scene, right? But these guys don't take no for an answer. And I'm telling you, I think, you know, with all due respect, if there is a restraining order, what do you think that means, bud?
It means you can't go in there.
Can't go in there? What do you mean?
Well, you can't go near them.
I know that, but what do you think the significance is of a restraining order? When you are concerned enough to go to a judge, and the judge says there's a restraining order, and the judge knows, and probably the cops know, that it's not worth the paper that it's written on. I mean, that's the foulest obscenity of all, especially in the state of California, where you can't even defend yourself. You're going to wind up getting sued by the piece of garbage that came into your house. But be that as it may, so you got a restraining order, and you're not supposed to go anywhere near the person, and you do anyway, you should only get a bullet right through the middle of your forehead. Why not? Why expect anything less?
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody does. They're not supposed to do that, are they?
Well, probably they can.
Probably they can? I think you have reasonable, you talk about reasonable suspicion, all that horse dung that we've been talking about tonight. You talk about reasonable cause or whatever the hell you want to call it. You got a restraining order and a guy violates it. The restraining order says, don't come near me. And the judge says, you know what? I agree. I'm going to make this legal. Don't go near her. So now you have this official stamp that says, don't go near her. And the guy goes anyway? I think you should be able to take his head off with an axe.
God, man, what, she's going to wind up getting arrested for murder.
Well, I'd like to meet the DA with the guts to do that. I really do. I really would. Knowing all the women that have been killed in the history of this world by men who have violated restraining orders, women who've been stalked, women who have been chased down, I'd like to meet the district attorney with the guts, with the balls, to charge any woman who has defended herself because someone violated a restraining order that she had taken out against the guy. I'd love to meet that guy. Although, you know, with politicians today, I don't know. A New York man has sued White Castle. Do you guys know White Castle?
I know it's a burger place.
Well, it's supposedly a really good burger place. And if you are from the West Coast, you don't know White Castle from Cinderella's Castle, man. You don't know what that is. But back east, it is a legendary hamburger joint. If I know my White Castle, and maybe I don't, I thought White Castle was the place with the little tiny burgers.
Yeah, they got a little tiny burger that used to be a buck.
Well, back in the day, when I was down in Florida in the 70s, I think they were actually 10 cents? But you could get a bag of these little White Castle burgers. Anyway, offended by the inability to fit into stationary booths at a White Castle located in Nanuet, New York, 290-pound Martin Kessman has sued the fast food establishment, alleging that its small seats violate his civil rights. And to make matters worse, the company responded to his complaints with coupons for free hamburgers.
Damn, give the guy food to eat?
Yes. So he complained, and they went ahead, well, geez, we're really sorry about that. I got it. Why don't we give you coupons for burgers? Anyway, not only are White Castle's small booths part of a nefarious plan to discriminate against its overweight customer base, the burger chain is forcing complaining customers to pay for cheese. First complaining about the booths 2.5 years ago, Martin Kessman asserts that White Castle promised to expand its seating, even providing him with specs. That is, the specifications for the new seats. Now we have Roland Schwind with us. Mr. Schwind is from Philadelphia, and he's on the line with us from Philadelphia tonight. You also are joining in this lawsuit, Mr. Schwind?
Yes, well, we're going to sue the White Castle for not only not providing the booze, but also because the stationery, the areas that are used to service the customers are too far from the booze.
All right. Do you know this man, Mr. Hessman?
I've come to know Mr. Hessman since the lawsuit. I did not know him, no.
You didn't know him before this?
No, sir, I did not. He's a New Yorker. I come from Philadelphia, but I did know the lawsuit eventually, and I had been contemplating my own because I am as well what we call ourselves parts of a fat pride movement, but I'm also challenged from that standpoint.
What do you mean by challenged?
What I mean is from the distance of the booths that Mr. Kessman is asked to have widened the distance from those booths to where the condiments, the ketchup and mustard in this, is of a distance that makes it onerous. It makes it difficult for people of a certain weight and size and a certain pride to get to. And
what do you mean by certain pride?
Certain pride is a certain size. We, instead of saying it was a certain weight or a certain height, we are of a certain pride. And I am of a certain pride. It's difficult. I get winded. A lot of people lose their breath going from that.
Hold on for a minute. How far from the booth to the ketchup?
From the booth to the ketchup, probably about 15 feet.
And you get winded?
Yes, I do get winded. And a lot of people do. And it's something that people who are not of a pride, but are of normal girth or of normal spatial relationship, these are people, they don't understand that. But I do get winded, and I get winded going from the booth over to where the burger for the ketchup, and then I come back, and I'm exhausted by that point. It's a point of humor for some. It is a very serious life challenge and lifestyle point for others.
All right, sir, so this lawsuit that this man is suing, they want to have the seats widened, and you want to have the counter closer.
We want to have seating that is not only that is acceptable to the pride, but is of...
The pride is large?
Yes, don't say fat, you know, because we're not fat. What we are is we have pride in the amount of space that we take up, pride in the amount of space that we are that we're occupying, and so we call it the pride. Now, I'm hoping that the White Castle here, and we've got three of them, can have this established by sometime early of next year, where they can move these counters closer.
You got a 15, but I'm going to interrupt you. You have a 15 feet from where the person sit, from where you sit to get to the ketchup.
That is correct, yes.
And then another 15 feet back. And you're getting winded by the time...
By the time I get over to get the ketchup, I am out of breath. And we've had cases where people are seriously oxygen deprived, with people at 90% oxygen just from walking.
Are they oxygen deprived because they're so... because they're taking up space?
They take up a lot of... yes, they take up space.
Okay, because you don't like the word, the F word.
We don't like the F word. We like the pride and the we take up space. And I would, if I could give a website out.
We'll give it out later in the show. Thank you very much, sir. That's Roland Schwinn, and he's suing because the counter is too far away. They get winded going from the seat to the ketchup and then back again. The world famous Phil Hendry Show, back with our news and information hour after this.
Phil Hendry.
Wow.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show live tonight. Back from a small hiatus, working another job, heading from here to there and back again. You know, I think wasn't that Bilbo Baggins?
Yeah, Bilbo Baggins and Frodo did the...
Frodo did the preface.
Well, I'm not interested in who did the preface. It was... Anyway, back on the live Phil Hendry Show here tonight and every night, Monday through Friday from 10 p. to 1 a. And, of course, we're on the air till 1 o'clock on the Pacific Coast and 4 o'clock Eastern time in the a.m. of a Saturday. And this is a good night to be on the air because people are out and about. And, of course, we're live on our website, philhendryshow.com. You can watch us on Phil TV in HD, 3 solid hours every night of our live video cast, showing you how we do our show, the most interesting radio show to watch as well as listen to, we like to think, in the universe. And, of course, you can access all of our archives. Nonetheless, we are here, and we are very grateful to have you with us. Some very twisted things in the news tonight and some interesting things in the news tonight and everything in between. One of the things that's twisted is the fact that Westboro Baptist Church plans to picket Steve Jobs' funeral. Now, these are people, as you know, that know no real depth to their depravity. One of the most depraved aspects of these people is that everything they do in the name of Jesus Christ, God, and other respected and beloved and sacred names to people who are Christian. Nonetheless, this is what Westboro Baptist Church has been doing, not only to what they plan on doing with Mr. Jobs, but at the funerals of soldiers. Which, my God, I mean, I got to tell you, that breaks all records. I never even thought in a million years anybody would have the guts to go to the funeral of a soldier and essentially call that individual a sinner because he was fighting on behalf of the great Satan America. Nonetheless, we're going to talk with David Castorini, who is the minister there at Youth Ministries, the David Castorini Youth Ministry in Tucson, Arizona. Tonight, our affiliate spotlight is on the good people at KRYK in Chinook, Montana, yes, and WEUS in Orlando, Florida. And I think we've been on that station in Orlando longer than we've been on any radio station in Orlando ever in the history of...
Orlando.
In the history of Orlando, yeah.
I think they like us. No, I haven't said that. They'll probably pull us off the air.
Well, you know, that's what I... Let's not count our chickens before they have feathers.
But
we're very grateful, and we thank all of you folks in Orlando and elsewhere who can find us. I mean, who listen to us. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, we do a local show here in Los Angeles, and if you are in the L.A. area or if you're watching us on Phil TV, which you can also watch the show, you'll notice that I have a very difficult time on that show. I go between two phone numbers. I always forget the local phone number, and I give our national number, and then I remember to give our national number. Anyway, there's a drinking game whereby when I give the wrong phone number, you're supposed to take a shot of Don Julio tequila.
So it is Don Julio.
Get close to the mic, will you?
So it is Don Julio.
Yes, you have to do this with Don Julio. So if you want to play the Phil Henry drinking game, it's on Saturday nights. If I give the national number by mistake instead of the local number, you have to take that $60 bottle of Don Julio and start taking hits off of that. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. David Castorini with us, the pastor of Castorini Youth Ministries in Tucson, Arizona. And David, good to have you with us tonight. Thank you for being with us.
Phil, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Let's take a look at this story. I know that you have a couple of thoughts on this. First of all, I want to ask you, have you had any interaction with people in Westboro Baptist?
Well, no, Phil. I would never have occasion to interact with those individuals. For starters, they're not in the same part of the country as us. We are in the Southwest, and the other is that we're not part of the same overall denomination. We're Pentecostal. I believe they call themselves a Baptist church, but I don't think they're Pentecostal. I think they might be Church of Christ or one of the others, but. So from that standpoint, we would never see them at any of our national conclaves. And of course, their methods are, you describe them as almost verging on blasphemy, if not...
Verging on? Don't you think they actually do blaspheme?
I'm not going to make that judgment. I wouldn't make that judgment on any church. I would not even make that judgment I was going to say on a satanic church. I suppose I should, but...
Well, I've got satanic churches clearly blasphemy.
That is correct, but the point that I'm making is I don't like to judge other Christian churches, other religious, anyone's religious experience, but I'll give you this. The Westboro Baptist, I don't think that they have much to do with Christianity at all, and that's my feeling. But having said that, I do have some feelings on the... on what they're saying about Steve Jobs.
Well, that's why I wanted to have you on. I'm not going to say that you agree with them, but you sort of...
Let me say this. I know that Steve Jobs is respected and loved. And in his life, he was not only respected and loved, he was feted, and he and probably rightfully so, I don't know. And now in death... people have, they have been speaking in glowing terms, in respectful terms, eulogizing him, memorializing him. That might be all well and good, but let's step back from Stephen Jobs as legendary figure of the computer and the personal computer experience. Let's talk about what he did, Phil, that I think weakened us a little bit. What he did was... he made it possible for the personal computer to be invented. If you think of what we do on the personal computer, you recognize very quickly that we went from being a social animal to a very solitary animal, interacting with people only by way of the conduit afforded us on the Internet, and we do that by way of the computer.
Well, you know, not to interrupt you, but I remember reading that when the telephone was first invented, and the telephone became popular in usage in the late 19th century, the same prediction was made that we would lose our intimacy, that we would lose our contact with other people.
Well, no, I understand that, but that was when the telephone was invented. I'm talking about this some 20 years, almost 30 years past the introduction of the personal computer. So this is not a prediction I'm making, Phil. I'm telling you that this is what's happened. Okay?
All right, but do you single that down to Stephen Jobs, or do you pinpoint that more on the people that took the personal computer, married it to the World Wide Web, and then, you know, invented things like Twitter or Facebook?
Well, I point directly to Steve Jobs because Stephen Jobs... created something without realizing the damage it would do. He created something without realizing the use that a lot of people would put it to. Or if he did realize it, that becomes an even more sinister reality, because If you look at a personal computer and what people use it for, the porn industry is making a lot of money. Disinformation, misinformation. We've already seen how people put the people put personal computer to use for evil, to harass and to bully a young girl or young people into committing suicide. We've seen this in multitudinous ways. Steve Jobs did that.
And did Steve Jobs do that? Or this is what I'm trying to say.
You can't see, Phil. You can't say I really respect Steve Jobs, but I don't. And I keep him separated from the evil that he made possible.
Well, no, wait. I mean, the evil that he made possible. He invented something. Can we not say that the computer is used for good? And can't this argument be made that while the automobile is something that kills people and it goes too fast and it has, and that in and of itself has eliminated the leisurely pace of life, and now we're going too fast at a lot of things that we do. It also is something that has given us great pleasure. And
now you're talking about the automobile.
I'm talking, yes, of the automobile, where we take our families out, we go on a Sunday drive, where we are able to see the country. There was a time when people, without the automobile, people spent their entire lives having seen only a small portion of this country that they grew up in. And you see,
you know, I think you can apply that to a lot of things. But you can't say that the automobile, there's one person. You can't say the telephone was something that when people made these predictions about the telephone, they came true. Steve Jobs, this is different. Steve Jobs created the personal computer, and as a result of that, we have people every day, and I mean all over this country, and every minute of every day, looking at pornographic websites, paying good money to look at these pornographic videos, paying good money to look at these sex sites and so on. And that is Steve Jobs doing. And you cannot say he was a great man and at the same time ignore what he did, which was to bring this kind of depravity into our home.
But he didn't. You can't. I don't see how you can hang that on him as something that he purposefully did.
Whether he purposefully did it or he did not do it, the sin of omission is nonetheless the same thing. When you do something and you aren't aware of the evil that you have done, you didn't think about it, you didn't really expect it, so on and so forth, that does not excuse you. You are a grown adult. You are supposed to look and see what the consequences of your actions are going to be. Steve Jobs brought this kind of sin into the American home. He gave us the opportunity to harass children and make them kill themselves. And
well, you're really indicting him now for these things.
While he did not do it directly, he is responsible.
He created something called the personal computer, or made it very, very possible. And now all of the sins that have been committed using that device on the World Wide Web, you lay directly at his feet.
If I don't do that, Phil, if I can't say Steve Jobs did a wonderful thing by creating the computer, but no, he has nothing to do with the sins that were committed, if I can't say that he does have something to do with it, then I'm being dishonest with myself, I'm being dishonest to God, I'm being dishonest to your audience, and I'm letting Steve Jobs off the hook when he should stand there like a man and take the punishment that the devil or whoever...
Well, now you've got him in hell.
No, I'm not going to make that prediction, but he needs to stand there before God and take that judgment.
Well, now you've got Steve Jobs in hell.
No, not. I do not.
Well, you said the punishment that the devil is going to mete out.
I don't know who will mete out the punishment.
Well, is he in heaven?
I'm not God. But Steve Jobs is going to have to stand there and answer for the porn that has seeped into every nook and cranny of our society, that is in everyone's home, that every child can see, that every husband can see, that every broken down marriage has been caused by, all kinds of depravity that now is at one's fingertips through the use of a credit card or a download. Steve Jobs did that.
And no, he didn't. No, he did not.
You don't get it, Phil.
Because a man creates something, then every sin that has been committed as the result of the creation of that device is his?
If you can show me a man that invented something that was not responsible for the sins of the people that used it, then I will agree with you. But you can't show me one.
I just mentioned... Well, all right, so the telephone...
The telephone was not invented by one person.
What about Alexander Graham Bell?
No, Alexander Graham Bell developed a way of communicating by way of a wire. He did not develop the telephone.
Well, all right, let's take a break here. 877-876-PHIL. Henry Ford didn't invent the car.
No, Henry Ford invented like assembly line.
All right, we'll be right back with David Castorini on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about Steve Jobs, and is he responsible for all the bad stuff that people have done with personal computers since he helped make them possible? It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have on, and we welcome tonight, David Castorini from Castorini Youth Ministries, as we talk about the life and times of Steve Jobs. And I'm very disappointed, Pastor, to hear you talk the way you do, because... There are so many people obviously respected this man, and so many people used what Steve Jobs created for good. I mean, this is not a guy that this is not a man that was out there creating bad things on his own. I recognize that what you're saying is true. A lot of people did things that with the personal computer that could be construed as very evil. There's no question about it. But to indict him, Steve Jobs, to me, seems cavalier. It doesn't seem like it's very good reasoning or judgment.
Phil, I understand how, I think a lot of you, your listeners, would agree with you, and I understand how a secular person is going to approach this. I have to approach it differently, Phil. I have to approach it from the standpoint of God. The Internet is wonderful. The World Wide Web is wonderful. Personal computers are wonderful, but they are nothing compared, Phil, to the glory of God. And when a man like Steve Jobs creates something without any thought as to the evil that it is going to do...
And what about the good?
You keep bringing that up, but I'm telling you, you cannot separate from a man's actions only the good and say, this is what we will judge him by, and we will not judge him by the evil. God has judged Stephen Jobs by now. And I don't know what God said. You want me to tell you what God said? I don't know.
Is it possible that a man so loved and...
Phil, a lot of people love a lot of people. I'm not going to go to the Hitler analogy because it's not...
Well, that's not even close to a good analogy.
No, it is not. You're right. But I will tell you, Phil, that even evil people have their admirers. That doesn't mean anything.
No, but I mean, come on. Look, the Internet has afforded us the opportunity. I've often said the following thing. Tell me if this isn't true, then we'll get to some phone calls. Is it not true that the Internet is like having the world library in your home?
It's yes. And that means you also have access to a woman... to a woman urinating for the sexual pleasure of men.
I understand.
See, now you want to cut me off. You don't want to talk about the evil, only the good.
Let me take a phone call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here is Sarah. Go ahead, Sarah. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Pastor Castorini.
Hi, I've got a question for you, Pastor.
Yes.
So you're comparing him to Hitler, which is a horrible
analogy. No, I'm not. I said I'm not going to use that analogy. The analogy that I wanted to use was any person who is evil most likely has admirers.
But are you saying, Steve, I don't mean to interrupt you, Sarah, but are you saying he's evil?
No, I'm not. I'm not saying he's evil. I just don't think how many admirers we have tells us anything about the person.
So would you blame a gun company, for example, say Smith & Wesson, would you blame them for every gun death that's ever been committed at a gun
No, no, I would not. I said to Phil earlier, one man invented what Steve Jobs invented. If you can point to the man that invented the gun, we could have a conversation. But
well, it's
we
not
can't.
Just him. There was a whole team of people that invented the Internet. I mean, you can't say that he's the only...
No. Steve Jobs didn't invent the Internet. No, he didn't invent the Internet. We're talking about what Steve Jobs did. The personal computer is what Steve Jobs... Without him, there would be no personal computer. So that's why I have to indict him.
Okay, now, so in other words, if there was a guy who invented the gun, that guy gets a pass.
No, he stands before God. He stands before God and God's judgment.
For every gun death ever?
All of that, because that man never took into consideration someone putting that barrel deep into their mouth and blowing the back of their head out. Yes.
Oh, come on. Oh,
wow.
How can a man come up with something like that?
Oh, so in other words, what you and Sarah want to do is give a man all the glory, but he's not responsible for all the evil. No, not me. Not Dave Castorini. I don't go there.
He
I don't
can't be
down that road.
Something that someone else did. I mean, it's their
good
choice
point.
What
right,
they
Sarah,
do with that weapon or that computer.
Right. We got to take a break. Sarah, thank you for your call. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Not me. Hendry. No. David Castrini isn't going to walk down that
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, you can see that we're doing a little interactive tonight. We've got the scrolling video of Steve Jobs speaking, the many things that he helped develop, the storyline as it has been told on YouTube and other places is there on our website as well as we do our show tonight. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is David Castorini of Castorini Youth Ministries talking, quite frankly, David. And we were joking during the break, but you've gone so far as to speculate as to whether Stephen Jobs, where he is in the afterlife.
No, I don't think I have, Phil.
Well, did you not say he'd stand?
I said that he would stand before God and God's judgment because I'm not like Westboro Baptist, which, in my opinion, is a blaspheming. That is a terrible, terrible and blaspheming use of the Lord Jesus Christ, his great work, and his suffering and dying for us. I'm simply saying that a man has to take responsibility for what he does. Stephen Jobs should have seen the desire that the human race has to look at naked people having sex. Now, here is a guy who developed a personal computer, and he didn't see that someday people were going to be not using it to investigate the libraries of the world, as you have said, Phil, but to find the most demeaning copographical, which I...
Whoa. I mean, are you telling me that, you know, you're going way out into some very extreme examples? Are you telling me all of this stuff is the fault, the knowing fault of Steve Jobs?
I'm saying... You know, God said a tree is known by its fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. And some people can take that and say, are you talking about fruit in terms of a homosexual? No, I'm talking about what you create. All right? Steve Jobs and a man on all fours lapping up, well...
You're running a long way for that one.
I don't think I am, Phil.
No, you're running a long, long way for that one. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Joseph in Boise, Idaho. Joseph, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I've been a teacher for over 28 years, and I cannot believe the stuff that I'm listening to from a person that's supposed to be a man of a God. Jobs created an instrument that he did not create, the web service that was used for all the pornography. Henry Ford created an automobile. He didn't drive all the drunk drivers and put them in behind the car and kill people.
Well, Henry, Henry Ford did not invent the automobile. Henry Ford was refined the invention of the automobile. He did not invent the automobile. And this is what I'm saying to you, Joseph.
He made the Ford, and the Ford car is what he designed. And if you put somebody that's drunk behind the wheel, he's responsible, not Henry Ford. And if a guy blows somebody's head off with a gun, the guy who pulled the trigger is at fault, not the gentleman who made the gun.
Who's the man that made the gun? No one. It was developed by the Chinese Army in conjunction with a great many people who use gunpowder and a bamboo. So there's not one man. There's not one man that invented the car. But there is one man who could have seen the filth that a man was going to immerse himself in by way of Steve Jobs' computer.
Wait a minute. I want to jump in here.
What's that?
Maybe he was looking at all the good stuff. I mean, all the medical stuff that's going on totally outweighs any pornography that's on there. And that's, you're talking about the web. You're not talking about a computer.
I'm talking about the instrument that is used to access some of the most extreme filth that I've ever seen.
Don't go on the internet. You won't extreme it. I mean,
are you saying to me? Well, I want to ask you something. Are you saying to me now that because Steve Jobs gets all the benefit and we praise him, and some people, sir, are praising him almost as much as you praise Jesus, which I really I'm very uncomfortable with. But are you saying Steve Jobs gets all the praise and he gets no responsibility for these tapes of women who defecate? And
all right, do we have to, you know, why are you bringing up such vile examples?
I don't understand.
Because
he made
that's
a computer,
what people,
not the web.
Wait a second.
A car is fault for rolling. He didn't create.
No, you, boy, yeah, you're really missing my point.
How are we missing your point? This gentleman and myself and others have said, you have something and people take it and they turn it into something. Let's take God. You want to talk about God? God said, I've created man and I've created the earth and I've created the animals. But really, the free will is man's. The free will is man's, and man does what he will. And so you say war and all of the...
Phil, it's the same thing. Are you blaming... If you're not going to blame God... People say that people cause wars, okay? Do people also cause the beauty of the sunrise? No, God does. So what are you talking about?
Huh? What are you talking about?
No. Well, go ahead and laugh if you want, sir. I
don't understand what you're thinking about. This is why people think Christians are out of their minds.
Oh, God. No, sir.
Lord Jesus is full of love, not pointing your finger and calling people what you're saying.
Jesus pointed to the Pharisees.
Watch people defecate and eat it when he made the personal computer. There wasn't even no such thing. You had to go to a bookstore, to a dirty film place to get that stuff. And I just don't understand how you put the two together.
Well, sir, I'm saying to you that when Steve Jobs knew that there were people out there that cruised toilets and wanted to fill his woman's say, but they wanted to eat what?
Oh, God, you know, I don't want to hear that again. Do you understand?
All right. But you see how this man is laughing? If we have war, do you blame God for war? Do you blame God for war, sir? No, you don't. Do you praise God for the polio cure, that was the vaccine? Do you praise God for that? Yes, you do. Why?
Yes, I do.
But you do not praise man. By your reasoning, we should praise man, but we don't. We only praise God for the good. We blame man for the bad. I'm saying God wants us to take into consideration everything. If Steve Jobs is sitting scratching his chin and saying, I invent this computer, I will be able to look at more filth than ever before. And
Steve Jobs?
I have to assume that, yeah.
Steve Jobs invented the computer so he could look at porn.
I have to take that into consideration if I'm going to use the honesty that God has granted me. And that's what I'm saying.
But what about saving people's lives with it and bringing information to people?
He might have. He might have, but he also thought about porn.
That was a lack of information because the internet wasn't alive yet.
Why?
So how could you think about it?
Yes, of course it was alive. The internet's been around since the 1950s.
No,
It was only used by the military. Yes, it was, Phil. Phil, do you know that?
Well, I know the internet was around before it became the phenomenon it is. It was used primarily by government and military.
Right.
But the point here, you're saying, and there's, you know, yeah, it was a totally different thing.
Well, you two guys, you fight amongst yourselves, okay?
No, I'm not fighting with Joseph. He agrees with me. Listen, sir, I appreciate it, Joseph. 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445. So Steve Jobs is what we're talking about here with David Castorini. And we're talking what Mr. Castorini or Pastor Castorini is saying is that Steve Jobs has been praised too much, I think. And
I believe that Steve Jobs has done great things, Phil. I think that Steve Jobs has been praised by people who have almost deified him. They have almost turned him into a Christ-like figure.
In what way?
Well, I think that when we look at Steve Jobs and the death that he suffered, it's a terrible death, it's a painful death. Pancreatic cancer is a terribly painful way to die. But by the same token, we cannot separate ourselves from the reality that since Steve Jobs died in this very terrible manner, in this hellish manner, that was not God's punishment on him for inventing something.
Oh, God, that's in the days
following. Hold on. I want to finish what I'm saying here, Phil.
In the days following that man's death, to say that the pancreatic cancer that he had was the result of God's punishment.
I'm not finished. I'm saying that God gave Steve Jobs all of the marvelous reward of his invention. Steve Jobs, I'm sure, was a very wealthy man. But also, because he invented a device that allowed people to access video of women and dogs.
Okay, you know what? You are bringing up things on purpose that are of such extreme pornographic nature.
No, I'm bringing up the reality, Phil.
Yeah, but you're using them in the same vein as Steve Jobs. I don't think it's right to say that this somehow, it's almost like you're saying he invented that stuff.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he died.
And this idea that he died painfully is God's wrath is really wrong. Really wrong. You're the one who said that you can't judge God. You can't know God's judgment.
No, I cannot know God's judgment.
And you also said that you don't agree with the Westboro Baptist Church, that they are blasphemers.
I believe they are. Yes, I do.
All right. What's the difference between them and you saying that Steve Jobs' pancreatic cancer was God's judgment on him, and that he's going to have to answer for more in the afterlife because he invented a device that delivers this pornography?
It's not just pornography. That's why I'm bringing up dogs. You won't let me bring up the dog and donkeys. And
what do you need? I know what you mean.
All right, well, you're getting very, Phil, your anger is more of a sin than anything I'm saying. And
so you're telling me that I'm a sinner, even though we're not going to, we don't know what God is saying.
And you're stumbling through your words.
In what way?
You just went God. You meant to say God, and you mixed him up with Steve Jobs. And so here we have Phil Henry, the host of a TV, whatever you do, a radio show.
Yeah, I do a radio show. You're on my radio show.
I know that.
And whatever I do?
I know that you're on a radio show, but you compared Steve Jobs to God and went Jod. That is significant to me, Phil. I don't think Steve Jobs is a bad man. I think he's simply a man that God judged, and God decided to send this man into the afterlife. Well,
don't say it. Don't say it.
Well, Phil, I fear no man. I God is my protector.
Okay, that's fine, but don't be so disrespectful.
Phil, Steve Jobs was not Jesus Christ. Steve Jobs was a guy who got lucky
Got lucky. So now the guy's lucky, on top of the fact that he's a sinner, on top of the fact that he is being judged by God, but he got lucky.
He got lucky. He didn't get that lucky because God's got him now, and God's going to... And I guess you don't want me to bring up... Well, can I bring up the fact he's Jewish?
Okay, so, all right, so...
No, I knew you'd get upset.
No, I'm not upset. I just want to make... I want to be very clear with my listeners and you. He's Jewish. He invented something that accesses porn, not just porn, but bestiality and the eating of excrement. And he also, I forget the other thing.
And the cancer.
Oh, yeah, the pancreatic cancer was God's judgment. Put him on hold, bud, will you please?
Yeah.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Youth Minister David Castorini on why Steve Jobs hold the phone. There may be some things that God needs to judge Steve Jobs for. One of them, people accessing porn on the internet and other things. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Man.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we're going to be talking in the next hour with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County about talk radio and the conservatism of talk radio and the disappointment that a lot of people have had in our show for not, quote, following the format. That ought to be an interesting conversation. David Castorini with us on Steve Jobs, and we have been very happy to show you interactively on Phil TV and HD as you listen to our show some of the moments in the life and times of Steve Jobs and Apple. We're showing right now him introducing the iPad, and another clip of him introducing the iPhone. It's been very edifying. With me, though, is a man who has said that Steve Jobs should be held accountable for the porn, and you've even gone so far as to say the porn that involves the eating of excrement. And
I said you asked me not to bring that up.
Well, I'm bringing it. I'm mentioning it now as an example.
I'm bringing up the most extreme examples of what Steve Jobs brought into our lives. He's a good man. Steve Jobs is a good man, but he brought into our lives a world that has confused us, has tempted us, and has caused a great many of us to be honest with you, a great many of us to virtually book our reservation for hell, if I can say something that silly. But that's what's happened. And Phil, you, with your website, allowing people to access some of the filth on your program, I think you're a wonderful guy, but you know what you've done. And
what I've done? What have I done?
You have a bit, I heard the bit, All You Can Eat Negro, where a man howls with laughter. Is that you?
Yes. That's a comic bit that has nothing to do with anything important. Let me get to a phone call here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I'll talk about that in a moment with you if you want, Pastor. Here is James in Montgomery, Alabama. Hello, James. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Pastor David Castorini.
Yes, sir. How y'all doing today,
yes, sir.
Gentlemen?
Good.
I'm good, James. How are you?
Oh, fine, sir. Mr. Castorini, I'd like to make a statement, and then maybe just quote something to you and then give you a chance to respond, if that's fine.
That's certainly fine. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Well, first off, from the way I was raised and brought up, you know, judgment is God and God Almighty's alone. It's not my place to judge anybody. That's my statement. And if I could,
is this going to take time?
Would you, Dave, excuse me, Pastor Castorini, would you let the gentleman finish?
I just was going to ask, was it going to take very long?
That's for me to keep track of, not for you, Pastor. Go ahead, James. Sorry for the interruption.
Just like to say one more thing. In the book of Matthew, it says, judge not lest you have been judged. For what measure you judge, you'll be judged by that measure and one added to you. And why boast is about your brother having a splinter in his eye, and you can't see the beam. You've got a beam in your own eye. It says, first, remove the beam from thine own eye, and then go to your brother and say, here, brother, let me help you get the splinter out of your eye. That's how the book of Matthew, King James Version of the Bible. And that's all I got to say.
I didn't understand that, though. I didn't understand what you just read.
That's a very famous passage.
Hold on, Phil. Hold on, please. Could you say it again, what you just read? Because that does not comport with what I know from the Bible.
It says not to pass judgment upon other people. It says judge not lest you have been judged. For what measure you use to judge, you'll be judged.
Well, okay, right there. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. You said judge not for what measure. It's slurred together. And
okay. Yeah.
Phil, excuse me, James. Phil, I'm going to ask you something. I say this with love in my heart. Would you shut up? Go ahead, James. What is it again?
Just judge not lest you have been judged. For what measure you judge, you'll be judged by that measure.
All right. I can't understand that. What measure judge?
You know something, Pastor?
I asked you to shut up.
You don't tell me to shut up on my show. The gentleman is reading. I understand him perfectly. What is the problem?
I didn't understand what he said. Is that a sin? Are you telling me now what a sin is? I'm the one that says what a sin is, not you. I'm not God, James, but...
James is basically saying something we all know from the Bible, which is, if you judge another man, make sure that the beam is cast from your own eye, meaning your own the obstruction to your own vision and the obstruction to your own life. The same thing about, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Isn't that what Jesus said?
Well, if I'm going to go along with that, and I do, Jesus said that. I don't know if he said that. If I'm going to go along with that, that means I'm going to stand there and watch a guy stick a knife in you, Phil, and take your money as he runs down the street, leaps into your car, hotwires it, and goes away. You know why? Because I can't judge him.
Oh, that's asinine.
Well, you don't know enough about religion. See?
Phil, you pretty much covered what I had to say, sir, and you did a lot better probably than I could have. But you gentlemen,
no,
have
I think
a good
you did.
Evening. God bless. And take care.
Well, see, I'm confused. Well.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that very much, James. 877-876-PHIL.
The thing that I resent, Phil, is a lot of people, especially the Southern preachers, go, well, bound day in the book. I didn't understand one thing that man said. And you tell me, if I see a guy stick a knife in your gut and then run away, hotwire your car, drive down the street, steal beer, and there's a few other things, I can't do nothing because I can't judge him unless the beam be stuck up my...
Phil.
What's that?
It's the end of the hour.
The beam is stuck in my...
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
Barack Obama is a liar. He is...
Across the state, we've traveled today.
It is a horror show. If you've never seen it, it's about a high school.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Did you tell them they loved Teen Titans?
I think that's pretty gay.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And like that. This is Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, where we keep marching inexorably across the... And when I say inexorably, Bud, that doesn't mean... It's got nothing to do with skin problems, you know?
All right.
Boy. But we keep on marching and we keep on keeping on, man, across the heads of these soft... liberals, progressives, those that would weaken the country just so they can have it nice and soft. And we don't believe in that any more than you do, and that is why this radio show has had no choice. We've had no choice. We've had to be on the air here with you each and every night until 1 on the West Coast, 4 on the East Coast. We're very happy you've joined us here this evening on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. President Obama's birth certificate is out, and yet there are still unsatisfied critics. Are you one of them? Orly Tates, I think, was on one of the shows. I don't know who she was talking to. I think it was O'Donnell over there on MSNBC. And you know that O'Donnell, being a card-carrying liberal, a member of the Hollywood establishment, you know that he was going to have a thing or two to say to her. And it was quite a happening. So we'll be hearing some of that audio. We'll get into what they're arguing about. Superman renounces his U.S. citizenship in the latest comic book issue. He renounces his U.S. citizenship. Superman. It's not a big thing. He's a fictitious superhero personage, but it still bothers me, a lot. Atheists want better support in the military, and we're going to be talking with Dr. Jim Sadler about the possibility, get a load of this, of atheist chaplains. Are you ready for that?
That's impossible.
I don't know. We're going to find out from Jim Sadler later on. Plus, we'll tell you why you might not want to sing Kung Fu Fighting while in the United Kingdom, that is. Lloyd Bonafide, Dr. Jim Sadler will be with us here in a moment. Mr. Bonafide, a former resident of Iowa, the Midwest, the Tornado Alley, as they call it, is going to be on to talk with us about his experiences and what a devastating, few hours, 48 hours, the people of the Alabama and some stretches of Tornado Alley, what a time they have had. Our affiliate spotlight tonight in Dallas, KFXR, 1190 AM, and in Warrenton, Virginia, WKDL, 1250 AM. And, of course, the Phil Hendry website, philhendryshow.com. We're live streaming video of our show is right now. We're on Phil TV in HD. Behind me is the roaring surf of the El Pacifico. And I don't know whether you guys that are watching us right now on Phil TV, you can see the hellacious surf that we have. Right now, there's a little bit of a calm, but you can see this is a very, very high surf that we've got out on the Pacific coast tonight. And people that are watching us on Phil TV and HD can see a really churning Pacific Ocean. And these are some super, super serious waves that have been banging the coast out there this afternoon. So if you want to get a look at that, join us over here tonight. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL. And as we mentioned, a devastating time for some people in our country who are having to contend with these tornadoes. U.S. meteorologists, by the way, warned on Thursday it would be a mistake to blame climate change for the seeming increase in tornadoes in the wake of deadly storms that have ripped through the U.S. South. So, in other words, our scientists, our meteorologists, in addition to the good work that they do in trying to warn us as to the reality of life, you know, the reality of life, just what's really happening, all right? Not only do they have to tell us, you know, and God bless them for doing it, telling us what's real, then they got to go out and they got to dispel fantasy land. Now they got to, you know, so they got to go and knock on Mother Goose's door and get her to shut up. Mother Goose, otherwise known as Al Gore. So they don't have enough to do. And doing the great work that they do. Now they got to, excuse me, Mr. Former Vice President, would you mind shut? You know, there's a lot of people that get worried about this stuff. So quit playing it like it's, like you're on scare tactics. And if you haven't seen that show, oh, baby.
Yeah, I saw that. It's pretty scary.
It isn't scary so much as that I feel bad for those people. Anyway, the meteorologists warning that this has nothing to do with climate change. It has nothing to do with the it has nothing to do with so-called global warming or any of this other jazz. It has to do with just the unfortunate aspect, the reality of this kind of weather. Tornadoes and violent storms rip through seven southern states, killing at least 284 people in the country's deadliest series of twisters in nearly four decades. This cluster of powerful tornadoes, more than 160 reported in total, combined with storms to cut a swath of destruction heading west to east. Over several days in some areas, whole neighborhoods were flattened, cars flipped, trees and power lines leaving tangled wreckage. And what a horrible, horrible situation in terms of the loss of life there in those parts of the country, as I mentioned, in the southeast and some of the southern states there in Tornado Alley. Joining us now on the Phil Hendry Show is Lloyd Bonafide. Mr. Bonafide is a resident now of Alhambra, California. For a brief time, though, he was living in what we call the Tornado Alley section of the country in Walcott, Iowa. And Mr. Bonafide joining us by telephone from Alhambra tonight. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Yes, sir. Doing well. We feel very badly for the people that have suffered so in these storms that have...
Of course.
The storms that have taken place.
Where did you live, Walcott?
We lived in Walcott, Iowa, after I'd gotten out of the Navy, where I married my wife, and I had my first business there. And I lived there for about 3 years before we moved to California. And in the time that I was there with my wife, and this was during the period of the late 50s all the way through the early 60s, we probably had every year, on an average year, you'd see or you would be in some way in the proximity of half a dozen serious twisters, tornadoes. And this was a normal thing. And I wanted to say to your listeners, Mr. Henry, who may be listening in that part of the country, that one of the worst things you can do, and I don't want to comment on the terrible situation.
No, I don't either. Let's keep this really about your experience.
Well, I just simply want to say that one of the worst things you can do is to give the appearance that you're running out, that you're leaving your property, that you're leaving your belongings, that you give the appearance that you are not sticking to it, you know. And there were an awful lot of there was a lot on the news in those days where you'd see people getting into their cars and leaving, and getting into their, you know, we had in those days station wagons and leaving, and you'd see these crowds of people. And I saw that on television one day, and I said to my wife, I said, you know, we have so much to be thankful for, and we've built so much in this home.
Right.
That I will not let this.
I know you're a little emotional, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm not going to make it, let it drive me out.
So what did you do?
Well, the first thing that I said to my wife, and I went to a lot of the neighbors that we knew, and we knew quite a few of them, I said, you know, the chances of us getting hit by one of these tornadoes is very, very slim. They look very daunting. If you've ever seen one, Mr. Henry, of course, you've seen them in the news.
Yeah, just looking at them on film or videotape, they look frightening.
They are very daunting looking, but when you realize that all it is wind, it's just a rapidly moving air, and the chances of it actually striking your home are very, very slim, and the idea that you're going to be presenting to the nation the look of a man who's being run off his own property by this tornado, I said to my wife, and I talked to a number of my neighbors, and I said, it's better that we stay. And that's exactly what we did. Through the next three storm seasons, there wasn't a one of us that actually got into our cars or evacuated our homes.
Now, isn't there some kind of a law in place, like in other places, where there's mandatory evacuation?
Well, we were never in a... there were at times... I believe there were two mandatory evacuations, but I told the fire department and the police department, I said, you know, you guys, you know, you're knocking on the wrong door, because there's no way I'm leaving this home. There's no way I'm leaving a home that I have worked and that I have sweated and that I have bled for all these years. You guys are at the wrong house. I said, shove off. And I remember saying that to this one cop. He said, sir, we need to... I said, you and your little friend there, he had another police officer with him. I didn't mean to be rude to the police officer, but I wanted to make a statement.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you and your little friend get in your little play car there. And I respect the police very much, Mr. Henry. I don't want it to be felt that I don't. But I was making a statement along with my neighbors. We were not going to let a tornado run us off and show us up and make us look as if we were panicked and frightened refugees. So I said to the police officer, I said, take your little toy car and take your little, you know, uniform and go off and play cops and robbers with somebody, okay? Don't bother me.
And you say you respect the cops. That's a hell of a thing to...
Well, I was very scared. So I told this cop to get lost, and for three seasons now...
So in other words, none of these tornadoes came near your home?
None came near my home. None came near Jim Purcell's home. Al Jones was another friend of mine that I'd had in the Navy who moved into the same neighborhood. We lost two families one year. But again, I feel very bad for that. But again, the average that was basically this: two families over 6 years.
Well, I mean, that's not really... boy, I'll tell you, I don't know whether or not that's an average that I want to advertise. You know...
I said to everyone, I said, don't go anywhere. I'm still here. The fact of the matter is, Mr. Henry, you have a higher percentage of making it if you don't leave your home. If you stay in your home and you let the tornado, it's not going to come near you. Because I think what happens with a tornado is the tornado sees, or it doesn't see, but the tornado is going where there is a lot of vulnerable and where there's a lot of, I don't know how to put this, where the vulnerability is the highest. A tornado tends not to go where people have decided they're going to tough it out.
Well, what does that mean, sir? You're telling me the tornado has some kind of... You're not telling me the tornado has some kind of awareness?
No, no. Of course, I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is I got outside my house. I put my hands on my hips. I looked toward this tornado, and I wasn't talking to the tornado, but I was talking to myself, and I was talking to anyone that would hear me, and I said... And I pointed at it, and I said to it, you go to hell. I said this to the tornado, not that it was going to hear me, but I did. I said, you go to hell. And I did that for 6 years.
What are you telling me then, sir? You're telling me that
if you stay in your home and you don't go...
The chances of a tornado getting you are very, very slim.
Yes, sir. And you increase your chances... If you simply have the attitude that the tornado could go straight to hell. Now, I'm not saying the tornado hears you. I'm not saying it has a consciousness. None of that. But you've got to get in your mind. And again, I won't comment, but I think you'll be safest if you have that attitude.
Well, I don't know how that practically defends anyone, you know.
Well, but you have my example. I never was hurt by a tornado. My wife wanted to leave 1 year, and I said to her, you're not going anywhere. And I know it sounds as if I kept her against her will, but what I did do was I gave her the guts to tough it out, as I did. And
what is that all about, though? Because when you say the chances are you're not going to get hurt, all you need to be is wrong once. You know that?
Am I talking to you on the phone right now, sir?
All you need to be is wrong once.
Am I talking to you on the phone right now, sir?
Yes, sir, you are.
Okay. So what that says is, when the tornadoes came into my town, and you can say what you want about this, I would say you go straight to hell.
All right. Hang on the line here. Lloyd Bonafide from Alhambra, California, a native of Walcott, Iowa, who was in the tornado alley through an early part of his marriage, and says the best thing you can do is to stay there, not be intimidated by the tornado, and to sort of, just kind of have an attitude like the tornado can go to hell. You just heard what he said. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're talking to Lloyd Bonafide, a Navy veteran, a Korean War veteran, about his experiences with tornadoes. They're nothing to fool around with. They're nothing to... stand with your hands on your hips and say, you go to hell too. This is this man's attitude, but I don't want anybody getting hurt. That's a very, very important consideration of this radio show. We'll be back with Lloyd Bonafide here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Be back with Lloyd Bonafide in a moment, a man who survived and experienced a great many tornadoes in his home in Iowa back in the early days of his marriage. He's a Navy veteran, a Korean War veteran, is speaking with us about he and neighbors sort of banding together and refusing to leave and staring the tornado in the eye and essentially saying, making the statement to each other, to themselves, to the nation at large, that they're not going to be run off. I don't know whether I agree with that. First up, though, we want to tell you about a great sponsor of ours. You guys know about the great micro energy shot called Dynapep. Just 4 milliliters, less than a teaspoon. There's no sugar. There's no crash. There's no jitters. There's just 2 calories. And I think I went, did I say there was no caffeine? Yes, there's caffeine.
Yeah, but it's really healthy and everything.
It is very healthy. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get my Dynapep shot out here in a moment. I always do my Dynapep shot in the evening. And we will tell you that it is all very, very good stuff. As a matter of fact, it will keep you up and keep you going and feeling good for 10 hours. Gives you 10 times the power. Dynapep Micro Energy Shot gets you through the night. You're focused, you're alert, and it keeps you going when you've been up all night as well. Again, no sugar, no crash, no jitters, and only 2 calories. So get Dynapep, okay? Dynapep, it is the best micro energy shot out there, and it's available right now at 7-Eleven. Hey, head over to the 7-Eleven store right now and pick up Dynapep. Phil Henry Show here, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Lloyd Bonafide in Alhambra, California, as we continue this discussion on tornadoes. And Lloyd, I'm having a difficult time following you a little bit here when you say that you didn't want to show fear.
You have to understand, as you mentioned, I'm a Korean War veteran, and as a war veteran, as a combat veteran, it's difficult for me to be around a lot of people that are running away from something. It's just something that we as veterans, we don't like to see a lot of people piling into their cars and running out. My wife, that one spring, as I mentioned to you, my wife was hysterical and had to be hospitalized because I kept her in the house. But she learned.
And your wife was what?
I told your producer that my wife had been hospitalized because I wouldn't let her leave when we had a particularly vicious storm bearing down on our home. And it was a funnel cloud. And you could see the debris that was being kicked up by it. And it was quite a significant and daunting thing. But I had told you I'd walked out in the yard area there. You could feel the wind and you could feel the barometric pressure changing. But I went out and I looked at that and I said, you could go straight to hell. I was talking to the tornado. Now, not that it could hear, I'm not saying it could hear me. I was saying this for me. My wife darted for the car. I grabbed her and I pulled her back into the house.
And your wife was trying to get away.
What's that, sir?
Your wife was trying to get away.
Yes, she was running out. And I told her, I said, you look at that and tell it to go to hell.
Well, okay, but you, did you kidnap your wife?
No, hold on for a minute here. I didn't kidnap anyone or anything. I told my wife that I don't marry women that run out like, you see, I was a Korean War veteran.
No, I understand that, sir. You told me that your wife was hospitalized as the result of you not letting her leave.
She had a nervous condition, but I told her, as I told my neighbors, if we look at that tornado and we say it can go to hell, it can burn in hell, as if it was a human being, it would give us the strength to last out this storm. That's all I say.
All right, sir. We'll be back with Lloyd Bonafide and your phone calls, too, at 877-876-PHIL. And this is a piece of significant information that this man wants to stare down a tornado to stay in his neighborhood, even if it means keeping his wife from leaving as well. Which I did not know about. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Go to hell.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the Phil Henry Show, and we have with us Lloyd Bonafide, a former resident of Walcott, Iowa, his hometown. He's a Navy veteran, moved to California. We're talking about his days in Iowa when he was first married, and a very unusual and, sounds to me, extremely dangerous method of dealing with tornadoes, and that was to stay in the house. I just want to alert those of you who are watching Phil TV. You can see that beautiful bouquet of flowers there. One of our sponsors is Pro Flowers, and they sent me these tulips, a bouquet of tulips. And you can see these are 2 days into the being in the vase here on our Phil TV webcast. Watch these for a solid week. When we say they stay fresh for a week, I ain't kidding you. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Lloyd Bonafide on the line with us. Let's get a phone call up here very quickly. Jeffrey in San Antonio, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Lloyd Bonafide. Go ahead, sir.
Y'all been talking to, I think he's kind of crazy. Because he can't tell a tornado to go to hell. He might walk out there
I didn't say that you can tell a tornado to go to hell. I said I told it, or I told myself this, to sometimes, if you've ever been in the military, just saying something, you know, when we march or something, it gives you some confidence. Now,
okay, a tornado's going to touch down anywhere damn well pleases. He can touch down here and jump up and touch down two houses later. What you going to do?
It's not going to come near my house, and I'll tell you something. I lived there for 6 years, and I told my neighbors, I said, don't you move. And, one family was killed.
Well, that's not a very good average. One family was killed.
Am I talking to you right now, sir? The gentleman on the phone, am I talking to you, Jeffrey? Am I talking to you, Mr. Henry? I'm telling you that it's true because I said, I'm not leaving.
What about your wife, who was very frightened and wanted to get out of there?
What about her? Is she calmed down?
She was hospitalized.
Yeah, hospitalized. What's up with that? You know, you could have avoided that. You know, if my wife wants to leave, I'm going to be right behind her. I'm behind my wife.
Well, sir, I will tell you this. If I saw a man running off with the women, I'd be disgusted. And my feeling is very simply this. You tell that tornado to go straight to living hell. And I stood there with my hands up.
Well, he might send you to hell if you don't, if he touches your house, if it goes through your house.
What, the tornado? If I looked at that tornado and I said, you could go straight to hell with any tornado that's behind you.
Well, are you talking to the tornado or are you not?
No, of course not.
It sounds like you're talking to the tornado to me.
Jeffrey, I don't know your history or what. If you have problems, why does it sound like I'm talking to it if I tell you that I'm not? I stood in front of the tornado this is 1964, and I was a 31-year-old man, and I said to this tornado, you can go down to the devil. And I'm telling you, as sure as God was born on Christmas Day, that tornado stopped, and it backed up. Now, what do you say to that? Do you call me crazy?
It could be a coincidence because that tornado can just come straight for you. You never know what.
That's exactly
that's
right.
Nature.
Are you telling me that if I stand out there and I see a tornado and what about a freight train?
Oh, don't be an ass. I'm not talking about a freight train. I'm talking about something that has no real path. The tornado doesn't know where it's going. It doesn't even know why it's doing what it's doing. It's just
like I said, it's act of nature. It just went up back up in the. You just having a coincidence. You said, go to hell, and
nope.
It went back up. Okay, it came right back down 2 seconds later and touched down right on top of your house.
Easy to say, isn't it? Easy to say a coincidence, but I've got 6 years of telling tornadoes to go straight to hell, and there's not a one of them that ever laid a finger on me.
Okay, I'm still very concerned. You know, I'm still very concerned.
Oh, what do you mean lucky? You know what? That's the cheapest thing to say a guy's lucky. Why don't you just say it? I'm good. And I'd rather be good than lucky.
What are you good at? What are you good at? Thank you very much for your call, Jeffrey. What are you good at? And beside the point, no comment yet about how you frightened your wife.
You know what, Mr. Henry? That's my wife, and I loved that girl my whole life. From the time I was 18 years of age, from the time I said goodbye to her and I shipped off the United States Navy from San Diego, California, and I came back to her, and when she was going to run out on me, I told a tornado, and I said to her, I said, and
you grabbed her and dragged her back into the house. The girl was, your wife was hospitalized because of some sort of nervous exhaustion.
Yeah, because she was weak. And it was disappointing to me because she was weak. And I told her, as I told my neighbors, I said, all of you can go to hell, along with the tornado. If you can't stand here and look at nature and say, this is my home, this is where I'm going to live.
877-876-7445. Phil Henry here as we talk to Lloyd Bonafide, who is talking about tornadoes and the fact that people that run away from them are sending the wrong message. Here is, I believe it's Rod in Fresno. Rod, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead with Lloyd Bonafide.
Actually, I'm in Corthgill, and
yes, sir.
I lived in Norman, Oklahoma for 39 years, and we dealt with tornadoes every year for three or four months, sometimes even out of the season. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I know one thing from NOAA weather research is that structures will create a vacuum, and they will pull a tornado towards them.
I realize that.
And the only thing that can make a tornado go off course is when it does hit a structure. It's just like when you're spinning a top.
Except when you open the window, hold on, because when you open the windows, as I do at my home, every year I would take a chair if I had to, and I would bust those windows out.
It doesn't matter. You still got a sealed-up attic up there. You've got a barn. You've got lots of things that build up pressure. Your hot water tank.
And the hot water tank is not a vacuum.
Everything. The radiators in your car. Your gasoline tank.
What I told it to go to hell.
Wait a minute. Will you listen to what the young man's saying?
No, but he says that the house is a vacuum. Is he?
I'm making sense. I'm trying to make sense. Can he stop while I explain a little bit more?
Yes. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I was missed by about a quarter mile from the biggest tornado in history. In 99. In Moore, Oklahoma, Oklahoma City, Dell City, the biggest tornado in history. I've seen what it does. I stood out there and looked in the middle of the path of destruction, and I've seen that it went towards different buildings. And when it got out into nowhere in a pasture, it went in a straight line. Right to the next housing development.
The tornado went into the house. Did you hear what you just said?
And when the tornado hit the next housing development, it also went in a very erratic path. My question is, when you said this to the tornado, did it just hit a house? When it turned around and altered its course, did it just hit a house? Did it just hit a barn? Did it just hit a grove of trees?
No, it was in the middle of an open field. No, it was in the middle of an open field, and I said, you could go to hell with all the little tornadoes that you make every year, and it stopped, and it I know you guys are going to think I'm crazy when I say this, but it looked confused. All right?
And you think you did that? Tornadoes are completely erratic. They go off air drafts. They go off warm air drafts, cold air drafts. They can move in erratic to completely erratic. That's why you have one house destroyed and one house remaining.
So, Rod, this is Phil. You got lucky. Rod is basically saying this. He's saying that the tornado is going to alter course, you may think, because you told it to go to hell. And
I told you I don't think the tornado is a person. I said that I felt the tornado, the wind got the vibration.
What he's saying is that the tornado's course can be altered by pressure in even the smallest thing, like a radiator, like a water heater. It can be altered by and change the pressure in these things. And it has nothing to do with anything
even,
else.
Even water in the ground. Water pipes going under the highway. It blew the highway apart. It blew the highway apart where the main lines went through. That's pressure in any concealed, anything that's concealed. Your car is a dangerous weapon. If you get in your car to run from a tornado, you're still in a dangerous situation. Because you've got something that's very lightweight and can be picked up very easily.
I think what you want to do here, Lloyd, is you want to feel like somehow you standing there and telling a tornado to go to hell had some effect, when, in fact, there's a lot of things that change its course.
I've been listening to what the young man's been saying, but he also said a tornado wears a dress. He's seen a lot of things like that.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
The very next day, on the front page of the Oklahoma City newspaper, there was an aerial photograph of the path of the tornado. I mean, from way, way, it must have been a satellite. Because
yeah, satellite
it showed
picture, yeah.
about 50 square miles. And every time
what?
It got near a town or near a city, it leached towards it. It went towards it. It didn't shy away from it.
All right, Mr. Henry,
it went towards it.
You guys are making fun of me for saying go to hell to a tornado, and here's a young man saying that the tornado leapt towards a town. What, did it want something to eat? Did it want to rent a car?
No, he's talking about what is created by structures, by the
yes.
structures that are there. All right, listen, thank you very
Any
much
structure.
For your call. Very, very good call. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445.
Well, you just hung up on that young man. He had another point to make.
Well, if I did, I apologize.
Because he was going, wait a minute, Mr. Henry. He got really loud the way a lot of the, I'm sure he was a good kid, but he sounded a little as if there might have been, he might not have gotten out of the, I don't mean to make a joke, as if he might not have gotten out of the way of a tornado. But the point that I'm making, and...
Well, you can insult him if you want.
No, but the only point that I'm trying to make and that people don't understand, I looked at this tornado and it stopped and backed up. It didn't go to the left. It didn't go to the right. It backed away from me as if there was some fear in it. That when I told it, and I said to it, I said, you can rot. You can rot in hell. I made it, I didn't say Mr. Tornado, but I said, you think you're going to come down here and you're going to destroy the only thing I've ever loved in my life. And I wasn't talking about my wife. I was talking about my home, and especially the wind stream that I just bought. But I also met my wife, but I think that's what caused her to bolt from the house into the car and try to get away, because I think she felt I was only talking about the car and the wind stream in the house. And
all right, I need to take a break, okay?
But if you break now, I'm leaving the impression that I'm mad, that I'm a madman.
I'm not, no, sir, but what you're talking about is going to need some explanation. As we talked to Lloyd Bonafide about tornadoes and what causes them to alter course and what causes them to, quote, back up. He claims standing there with his hands on his hips telling it to go to hell caused the tornado to back up and to miss his house. And he said living in Tornado Alley all those years, not once did a tornado hit him, his home, or his neighbors. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Dr. Jim Sadler, next hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
That Aphrodite Jones.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I want to get back to Lloyd Bonafide here as we talk with this man, a Navy veteran and a resident and a native of Iowa, about these tornadoes. But I really have to get to this question of your wife, and then we'll take some more phone calls, sir.
Mr. Henry, I treat my wife as fine. All right.
I have to get to the question of how you grabbed her and dragged her back in the house.
She had bolted from the house to the car. And when I say bolted, I had stood there, and I'll never forget the day. It was May 16th. It was 1965. And I said, this was a twister. And it was coming up the Mississippi of the... Part of the Mississippi River, the valley, there's a ledge there called McMullen, and that was turning toward the town. I said, you can rot in hell. You, and yes, even the God that created you.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not talking to God. It's something that strengthens me. That's when she bolted to the car and tried to get away.
So no wonder she bolted to the car and tried to get away. You sent that to God?
Oh, when you grow up. Okay, I'm not talking to God and I'm not talking to the tornado. I'm talking to myself and my neighbors. You have to understand that my neighbors would see me doing this and would gain strength from it.
And then your wife, who was hospitalized with nervous exhaustion after you dragged her back into that home and made her suffer through this series of twisters. 877-876-PHIL. I think that's something. You love a woman. You love anybody in your family. You love a person. You don't put them through that. Here is Jane, and Jane is on the Phil Henry Show. Jane is in Cleveland, Cleveland, Tennessee. Go ahead, Jane. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Lloyd Bonafide.
Oh, yeah, I just called to tell you that we lived through a tornado the other day, and about my neighbors, they were in their house seconds before the tornado hit their home and leveled it. They got in the basement, and all they have left is just clothes on their back, and they were barefooted and come to our home. Our neighbors, other neighbors' house is leveled, too. So, I mean, well, it's risky.
Did they tell it to go to hell?
Oh, come on, will you?
Well, the lady said they went into the basement. And I don't know that that's what you want to do. I think you want to stay above ground.
If they stayed above ground, they would be dead now.
Well, ma'am, you stayed above ground. How are you? You're fine. See?
No, I went into a garage.
Oh. The lady went into a covered area.
Well, okay, she went into a covered area. All right. But the point, do you have a storm basement, ma'am? James, do you have a storm basement in your home?
No, I had to go into my garage. I was lucky.
See, so it couldn't concern you that much because you don't have it, and I'm not criticizing. Yeah,
well,
I'm saying it couldn't concern you that much. So what I didn't have a storm basement either. I wouldn't if I to construct a storm basement would mean that I had no guts. And
boy, you really play it fast and loose with people's lives, including your own.
I beg your pardon?
You play it fast and loose with people's lives, including your own.
Say that again.
You play
I don't
fast
really...
and loose with people's... Go ahead, Jane.
Well, I was just
so you
I
were
was
safe,
saying...
and I'm glad to hear that you're safe, yeah.
If we had stayed in the house... Now, we're lucky it didn't hit us. It went around us. So I've got trees uprooted in my house and in my yard, but my neighbors would be dead if they didn't go to the basement.
Right. This was a devastating event.
Mr. Henry, I lived through tornadoes, too. But there was something about Lloyd Bonafide when I saw that thing coming down the hill, and I knew that it was gunning for my home. I stood there, and I said to it, boy, I'll tell you, you are going to burn. You'll burn with Jack the Ripper.
You're talking to a tornado.
I've had 9 people in this county die.
Yes,
I because of this.
But this has got nothing to do with that. I'm talking about Iowa in 1965.
Well, what made Iowa different from this situation?
I don't know. Other than the fact that I was able to tell a tornado to go to hell. I don't know, Mr. Hitler. You're asking me a lot of very uncomfortable questions. And
of course they're uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable. It's very dangerous. It's better for people to adhere to a safe plan. I remember hurricanes in the Southeast. Kids would go out, they thought it was funny to go out and play in the hurricanes, play in the wind. One of them almost got killed by a flying piece of plate glass window. You know, these things are beyond jokes. And
this is not a joke, sir. This is me standing...
Or somebody acting the fool and dragging somebody else back into a house because you don't want a tornado to beat you.
Well, the image of people fleeing their homes in front of a tornado, to me, I cannot abide it. It makes me physically ill. I would rather see human beings stand there and tell a tornado to go straight to the living, go straight to the demon. I don't know.
Yeah, that'll help. Thank you very much, Jane. Glad you're safe, too.
Yeah, you're welcome.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's go over to James. James, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Lloyd Bonafide.
Yeah, Lloyd, 30 seconds. You're out of your mind. You are insane. You're telling people that all they have to do is use this language, go straight to hell, and something like that, and it's going to turn a tornado. Are you out your mind?
Have you done it? Have you tried it? Have you even given it a try? No. So how do you know?
Phil Henry.